All right, we're back with the Metallica guys.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm just kind of going down the line here, okay? We got to the solo thing. Kind of touched on the drums a little bit, but, you know, we could do that all night.
Yeah.
We could have our own little drum circle here, but we'll spare you guys.
I want to come sit over with you guys in a few minutes, okay? Like, drummers of the world unite.
I just have to say, with you three guys, it'd be an incredible drum off. Let's just say that.
You know?
Be an incredible amount of Advil necessary for everybody, too.
Don would be working overtime.
Yeah. Amazing beat off. Yes.
Hey!
All right.
Rob? How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
You're doing good?
Oh, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is your first Metallica record?
This is my first Metallica record.
Yeah, it is!
Yeah.
Now, you're no stranger to the rock studio. You've made a lot of rock records in your life.
Correct.
What was it like making this record with these guys? I want to know.
It was actually a lot of fun, a lot of jamming, and I was very fortunate to be sort of the middleman between Lars and James in a lot of situations. Kirk was actually spending a lot of time, you know, he had his
slacking
child.
Not here.
No.
Not showing up.
He was representing the family.
Other stuff. Water skiing.
And abandoned ship, Trujillo, take over. Yeah. And anyway.
Yeah. Rob filled that vacuous sort of position while my wife had not one, but two children.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez
Louise.
Yeah. Wow.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time.
I mean, in the last 5 years, we've had, what, four children born? Wait,
yeah. Is this a commune, this place? What is this?
It's insane. Join Metallica and give birth. I mean,
the Metallica baby factory is
wow.
Spit them out.
It's the love family, man. Come on in.
You know?
It's wonderful.
But, you know, it was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time in that room right over there, you know, jamming and working it all out. I can say that, you know, sitting between Lars and James in there arranging a hard rock metal song is like going to the best school of songwriting you can ever imagine.
Well, that was a question. Huge fans. Like,
that was a question I had when I was listening to a lot of the new stuff was, how do you arrange that stuff? Because the arrangements are insane.
But that was also one of the great things that, you know, one of the great suggestions that Rick Rubin actually made was getting these guys to kind of reunite with some of that energy from the old days, from the old school, and that old school of arranging, and it was a lot of fun, and, you know, and just to kind of mediate at times, and most of the times it was definitely, you know, pleasant vibe, and we're having fun, and there are other times
where a couple brawls,
a little bit of headbutting, you know, you know, figuring out the difficult technical stuff, but all in all, wonderful experience, and the scary thing is that I just think it's going to get better, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I agree, man. I mean, it's nice to hear some ripping bass on the record, too.
It's nice to hear bass on the record.
somebody, I was doing some interviews in Europe last week, and some guy looked me in the eye and said, this record's like Injustice for All with bass.
I'll take that.
Hey, did you ever meet the guy that put bass on Injustice for All?
Yeah.
Because he gave me one of those, too. Dude in Detroit.
Injustice for All.
With bass.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. 30% more bass.
Amazing.
Yeah. How do you think I learned Injustice for All? Thanks to that guy.
Wait, didn't you sell me a CD for $7? Okay.
I think that guy works for Scars on Broadway now. That very same guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Scars on
Broadway. A little trivia. A little bit of trivia there.
That's good to know. Another song. Now, this might be my second favorite song. You know, I haven't heard the whole thing. I've only heard six songs. This is Broken, Beaten, Scarred, right?
Love it.
I want to talk about lyrical inspiration and stuff next, but let's listen to this song. This is Broken, Beaten, Scarred, Metallica, Death Magnetic. Check it out, go. All right.
Yeah.
Another winner. Another wiener.
Another face slammer.
Yeah, another wiener. Another one in the bunch. Now, you know what? This break, I think, is not... I think this is a short one.
Muy poquito.
I want to save the lyrical questions for the next long one. Because
You're
I'm
assuming
sure,
I can remember them.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. All right, let's get into it then, dude.
No, whatever, man. You're in charge.
I mean, are you the... That's right. Are you the guy that carries around the journal or the notebook or the thing and writes down stuff, or do you write riffs and then write lyrics?
Or the iPod, or the whatever deal. I write it.
The dictaphone?
Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah.
Dictaphone.
What'd you call me?
I used to pretty much have... a bag full of napkins and whatnot, with just little notes written on, you know, and half of them would get lost and whatnot. Basically, now I just write them in the phone, and I keep them
really?
All the time. Yeah, and then I can call myself and, you know, record some riffs.
Riff.
All right, and then we sit, you know, a year later and listen to it and go, oh my God,
what
was I thinking? And then something cool comes out of it, like, you know, the last song or whatever. But I'm not the guy who's you know, writing poetry all the time or journaling.
God, I would have thought of you as the poetry.
You just seem like that dude.
Right.
At the coffee shop with your Power Mac.
Yeah, my beret and my half cap.
Your soy latte. because I mean, it's one of those things where I mean, I know a lot has happened with you in the last 5, 6, 7 years, however long it's been. I mean. Mm-hmm. Seeing that movie, we all saw the movie, you know, and that's hardcore. Like that's a crazy thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we watched.
It sucked. No, but I mean to see someone go through like that whole process, all of you going through that process, mm-hmm. that's kind of nuts. And then to have to carry that over again through another album cycle, and then you know, and then to go through a whole other record, I'm sure you have a lot of new stuff to.
There was a lot of fuel.
Figure out.
Well, there was a lot of fuel for this record lyrically because of what we went through.
Sure.
As I say, the near-death experience of Metallica, you know? And so a lot of this, Death Magnetic, is kind of revolving around near-death experience and the rebirth and the life that's out there, the gratitude that we have, you know, the awareness that, you know, we kind of need each other more than we hate each other, all right, guys? You know, let's sort this out. This is worth it, completely worth it. You know, we go places with the key of Metallica. And, you know, writing about, some of the fallen warriors that have, you know, passed, Lane Staley, and you certainly know one.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have gone that way. You never know. So writing about, and also what really inspired me was, you know, getting together with Rick Rubin and getting to know some of the stuff he worked with, you know, Johnny Cash's stuff and the amazing stories of Johnny. There was an interview he did about his real near-death experience. And he talked about, you know, the typical tunnel, and
nice.
I saw it all, and he came back for a reason, and he saw through new eyes, and just that gratitude for life.
Yeah.
There's something about that on this record.
That's awesome. Okay, I think we need to go to commercial. I'm getting yelled at because you're talking.
You haven't cried yet.
I'm going to start crying now.
I know.
You haven't cried yet.
Lars is crying.
I go punch you.
We'll be back. We're listening to the new Metallica record, Death Magnetic. We're going to take a little break and we'll come back. Yay!